Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Slamfire Radio, the Who Is That Under the Bus edition.
That under the bus?
Thump, thump. I should be more like a kaboom for bang. This week, Trevor is on vacation, so you, the listeners, will be getting a vacation from his 4-hour What I Did With Guns segment.
Oh, I love it. So what we'll do then instead is you and I will take 4 hours to talk about what we've done with guns. So we finally get our turn is basically what's going on here. Usually, you know, Trevor gets his turn and Owen and I stay quiet and then, you know, do the main topic. Nope.
We're taking all the glory this time.
This time we win for a lot. So yes, as you can hear, Trevor's not here. He is in BC, I guess, with his wife doing some stuff. I don't know. I'd like to keep up with the guy. You know, if only he'd post a picture on Facebook every now and then. Oh, wait.
I have to unsubscribe. Thank you for reminding me to unsubscribe to him on Facebook. Because
I know. My entire news feed.
Driving down the road.
It's nothing but him.
Yeah, my phone just keeps going. Non-stop.
What's that? Oh, look at that. Trevor's in Chinatown again. Oh, look at that. Trevor's having a beer. Oh, look at that. He's had 17 more.
Oh, look at that. He's getting up from the table and walking to the bathroom. Look at that. He just came out of the bathroom.
Put down the phone. Oh, crap.
Yeah. NSA must love him.
Oh, I guess. All right. Well, so what did we do with guns this week?
Well, we did a lot of stuff, actually. You and I got together this week. On the weekend. No. What day was that? Yeah. Actually, because we got together on the weekend and then on Tuesday night.
Was it Tuesday night?
That was the match. Tuesday night here in Woodstock, and Matthew and Trevor came down for that.
Right, so yes, okay, so the Tuesday trip was the second trip. Okay, never mind, I got confused there for a minute.
We're going backwards in
we're
time.
Going backwards in time.
Chronologically in reverse.
I like it. Well, let's start in forward chronological order.
I got to start at the bottom of the list then.
We met up with listener Jeff A.
Yes.
That's right. Jeff, we went out to Tim Hortons. And sat and basically listened to him talk to us about what he does out in BC for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Because we were like, oh, we got to meet another listener.
Oh, man.
Just,
you know,
we'll just get in and get out and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, because we meet so many, right? We're such celebrities.
Oh, I know. I think, we're going to have to sign autographs and, you know.
Meanwhile, this is the first time we've ever done this.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool guy. Lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I can say all that stuff because I know he's getting a kick out of it right now. Probably.
Well, no, you can also say all that stuff because he's probably in BC again now, and so you're safe, right?
And because as a lumberjack, I am scared of that man.
Holy cow, the guy was huge. And you think Chris Costa has a beard? Yeah. You think Chuck Norris has a beard? Nah. Jeff has a beard.
I could hide in his beard.
Yeah, no, it was, and he said it was trimmed. He said, this is my summer beard. I got it trimmed back. Meanwhile, like birdies were flying out of it, and the moose stepped out at one point, I think. It was huge, but cool. So anyway, Jeff, I'm glad you're way far away from us and can't hurt us anymore. But we had fantastic discussion with him. He works for the forestry department or something like that. I really wasn't listening. No, I'm kidding. I was listening.
He was in Alberta, though. He wasn't in BC.
Oh, was it Alberta?
I'm pretty sure.
I knew that. Yes, that sounds way more correct than BC. Sorry, Jeff. Alberta. You can stop yelling at your computer screen now.
Banging on the dashboard of your...
I don't live in British Columbia. Sorry, Alberta. But because he works out in the woods and is often tied up with both hands, like with other equipment, not tied up in that way. he's been issued an ATC wilderness carry permit. So he carries an interesting selection of firearms, which I don't think we'll get into now because we're hoping to have him on the show with us.
That's right.
So Jeff, you should be listening.
That way we can stop, massacring more facts. Just have him tell us,
That's right. We're going to mess it up if we continue on. Next thing you know, he'll be, I don't know, we'll make something up. Anyway, Jeff, get your Skype up and running there and get a hold of me, and we're going to get you on the show. So, that was cool. What did we do after that?
I don't remember what day that was. That was Saturday morning. So then Saturday afternoon, we came back to my place and shot some clays. Or as we say out here in the country, we shot some skeet.
Yeah, that's right. They're like, we're going to shoot some skeet. I'm like, skeet's a sport. Did you see me hit that skeet?
Townie.
I'm like, you didn't hit a skeet, you hit a clay. I brought 2 boxes of skeet. I'm like,
I don't know. I done there. I shot that skeet right out of the sky. It just went poof.
You fit the high house and the low house in that box you did? Good for you. Oh. So anyway, we shot some clays, and there were a lot of clays, a lot of shotgun shells, a lot of shotguns. What's that?
Went through 3 boxes.
3 boxes of clays. I don't know if my arm was more sore from throwing all of them or from the recoil of your KSG. Holy cow, I was shooting my gun, well, quite a bit, obviously, because it was my gun. And it's not a heavy gun to begin with. It's a fairly light, well, it's a Mossberg 500 with a really short 20-inch barrel on it. So it's not a heavy gun. So it doesn't really absorb a whole lot of the recoil. You feel quite a bit of it. Mm-hmm. Well, then I picked up the KSG. Holy crap, it just about knocked me on my butt.
Oh, yeah, it kicks. Now imagine shooting some slugs through that 3-inch slug. Oh,
jeez. No, thank you.
It's just like a mortar. Boom. It's what it sounds like, too, because you hear it right beside your head when it goes off. It's a bullpup. So you hear this boom as it goes up the end of the barrel.
The only way I'd shoot a slug out of it is by putting the buttstock on the ground and shooting it straight up. Boom. How did you get this deer in the top of his head? Well, the slug came right down on top of him, so.
So we had a good time with that.
We did. Yeah, we had a lot of
David
fun.
David was out, and a couple other hunting buddies were out, and we...
Yeah, Lance and Jeff?
I believe Jeff was his buddy's name, yeah.
Jeff, yeah, something like that, yeah.
They're not listeners, so...
No, it doesn't matter. We can make up there. It was a guy named Freddie and Mutt and Jeff. You hope they don't listen. They were good with the shotgun, so saying.
They were pretty good, yeah.
We also practiced getting out of the blind and shooting, which I have to say, it's weird shooting clays from the supine position. It's weird. So anyway, that kind of gave me an idea as to how goose hunting goes. You kind of have to get up, or you're laying down and then kind of bust out of the blind and then kind of sit in a kind of funny, weird, awkward angle and then try to shoot stuff. I can see why it's challenging.
Well, we were getting tuned up for goose season. I mean, that was the point. So,
yeah.
And this will be your first year, hopefully. Be your first year trying this out. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. If I shoot the geese as well as I shot the clays from the blind, they're going to be safe.
I'm going to be doing a lot of cleanup, is what you're saying.
I'll be the flagger.
Right.
And you shoot them.
No, it was good. We did a lot of different stuff, cross throwing kind of across and three or four at one time. And
Yeah, we tried some rabbits, which I'm sorry about your lawn.
I noticed that. I was like, driving along because I was mowing, I think, a couple days later. I'm like, what the?
I was throwing the clays along the ground, rolling them, and the guys were trying to hit them, tearing huge divots out of Owen's lawn.
Good thing there's not no homeowners association around here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So then, it was a Saturday. Then you guys drove back that night.
Yep.
Home, and then you turned around and came back down on Tuesday afternoon with Trevor. We did.
Yeah, Trevor came along with us that time.
And for a small match. Mm-hmm. He was on his way through to Moncton to fly out to Vancouver. So.
That's right, yeah. It was a good match. He left early because he knew we were mad at him, so... You should have heard this guy. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but anyway. Trevor being Trevor. It was a good match. He won. And, you know, I think because it really did come down to that one point, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It was that one. You know, if he hadn't argued the way he did for that one point, he definitely wouldn't have won. Oh, no, wait. No, he cleaned up. So...
Did he? I didn't even look at his score.
Yeah, it was like 100. Well, he was first, and the next person was like 76% or so, I don't know, something like that. It was.
Everyone lumped together, or just
no, just his division, just his division.
It was
standard.
Only two people in his division.
Oh, okay, well, he definitely won it, and then you won the production division, and you gave me quite the trouncing. Let me tell you, I think I came in at 84%, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I got a lot of those little matches to make up for nationals.
Yeah, that's all right. It was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed myself there. The one part that kind of really helped throw my game was glasses fogging up on 25 or 20 yard shots with no shoots in front of the targets. That'll do it. So. Anyway, it was good, though. I enjoyed it. I think everybody else there enjoyed it, too. We all had a good time. It rained a little bit, but not bad. You had a tent set up, so it was good.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was nice. It might be the last one for the season. I don't know.
We might not get one more in?
Well, we'll just have to see how scheduling goes for the end of the month, because I know Fredericton is having a match that weekend as well.
Oh, okay.
And Trevor might be moving.
Oh,
I've
right.
promised to help him, and so there's a lot of stuff going on. So David might have to run it himself down here. I don't know.
Well, if Trevor's moving and you got to go help him, then yeah, I'll go help David with the match.
Yeah, but then we'll have nobody to carry the, you know, the little boxes.
Yeah, no worries, man. You'll be fine. Not like you putting me on that piano like that other time I come help you move. Hey, Matt, want to come hang out with me on a Saturday? Yeah, sure, I'll be right over. What are we doing? Oh, we're going to go help my friends move in the States. Oh. Here, you take the piano. Ah. Yeah, that was good a good day. Well, other than that...
What'd you do with guns all by yourself?
All by myself, what did I do? I actually cleaned all of my guns with a very rare few exceptions. Jules rifle I haven't got to yet, and the Lee Enfield I guess I didn't get to, but that thing had, I think it's still clean from last time I used it, so I went through all my guns, tore them all down, gave them a detailed cleaning. It was fun. I oiled them a bit more than what I normally do, seeing as I got made fun of a couple of episodes ago for having a dry gun, so I made sure they all had some good oil in them. They're all nice and slick and clean. I took my 500. Now, I don't know if listeners may remember us talking before about the Winchester 1200 and 1300 series, and other shotguns have this as well, but they have what's called a speed pump. And what that means is you pull back on the pump as you pull the trigger, and the pump releases right away. It doesn't lock up at all. Whereas a Remington 870 and my Mossberg 500s, if you pull back on the pump while you pull the trigger, the pump locks. It doesn't move until you actually release the pressure on the pump after the trigger has been or the gun's been fired, and then the pump will come back and allow you to cycle the action. Well, that's kind of irritating to me because I started my pump shotgun career with a Winchester 1300 Defender that had a speed pump. So I was used to just pulling back on the front on the pump as I pulled the trigger and just letting that pump fly, and I could shoot that thing really fast. Well, I was kind of irritated that Mossberg 500 didn't have that feature, so I gave it to it. I modded my 500 so it does it now.
It wasn't all that hard.
No, it was very easy, about 10 minutes with a file, and it still shoots perfectly fine and perfectly safe. And when I fire it now, the pump just slides right back just like it used to on my old 1300, and it shoots nice and fast now again. So I'm very happy about that. I didn't realize that was a feature,
and I noticed that about David's Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
350? Stevens 350?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was. Anyway,
I think so, yep.
When we were shooting clays, because every time I pulled the trigger, the action popped open.
Yep.
I was like, whoa, that's kind of weird. I'm not used to that, because my old pump shotgun never did that.
Yeah, it would lock up, right? And then you would have to push it forward or whatever, just, you know, not take the pressure off it before it would pump. But
No, not really. You would shoot it, and then you could pump it.
Well, yes, but if you were
immediately, but it didn't kick itself open. Basically, this was like you pull the trigger, and almost as if the recoil started the process of opening it.
Oh, okay, very cool. Yeah, well, that's what the 1300 did, and that's what the Mossberg does now too. And yes, that's what Dave's does.
I can see if you're used to it, how fast it would be.
It is very fast. It's very fast. I think I can shoot my pump almost as fast as somebody can shoot a semi. I won't be as accurate, but I can go as fast. It's fun. I like shooting really fast at a shotgun. But that's pretty much all I did. Just kind of tooled around and played a little bit and cleaned. And I went out today just to the local gravel pit with a 22 and just messed around with that a little bit. Just, you know, shooting rocks at like 300 yards away. You know, typical 22 stuff, you know, with open sights. No big deal. So what did you do?
Well, I did a fair bit, actually, for a change. I got a 22 conversion kit for my AR. Yeah, it is a slick little rig.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm going to be enjoying it. I need to get some more mags out. I just have the one mag.
That's the CMMG.
That is the CMMG.
Kit, correct? And for the listeners who don't know, that's actually the same make and model that Filthy donated to my AR build. So I have one too. I have a part coming in the mail that'll make mine better, because then it'll work, because Filthy gave it to me broken. Just, you know, throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But it's neat, because all you do, this is to convert, this is literally it. You take out the rear takedown pin, you open up the AR, you pull out the bolt, you slide this thing in and change the magazine. That's it, you're done. There's no messing around, there's no finicky nothing. You just take out your 223 bolt, put in this bolt, and put in a 22 magazine, and that's it, you're done. Everything else is, it's so slick.
No gas system changes or nothing. Anything. Like, it's just, yeah, it's amazing. So,
yep,
that's going to be fun, considering I got about 8,000 rounds of 22 sitting upstairs.
Well, that's a good start.
That needs to be shot, so.
Okay.
And I also put on a Magpul ACS stock.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the one that came with the gun, actually. It was nothing fancy, just a collapsible stock on it.
So what did you switch it out for when you first got it? You said this is the one that came with the gun.
No. The one I took off was the original, like the one that came with the gun. Just a cheap collapsible stock.
Sorry.
Like nothing fancy.
Gotcha. And then you put the ACS on.
I put the ACS on, yeah.
How do you like it?
It took a little bit of getting used to, because now the settings are a little different. It's not the same, because it's a longer stock. So the buffer tube's the same, but the stock is longer.
Interesting.
And of course, the one I got was a commercial stock.
Oh, and you have a mil-spec tube, don't you?
Or maybe it was the other way around. Yeah, it had a commercial tube, and I got a mil-spec stock. So I had to I've had the stock now for a couple of weeks. I had to order a buffer tube to match it, a mil-spec buffer tube.
So the stock wouldn't fit on, or it was loose and wobbly?
Would not fit on.
Would not fit on, okay, yeah.
Because the commercial is a little bit bigger outside diameter than the mil-spec. I didn't realize that. I thought it was an inner diameter thing.
I don't know why they would do that. Why not? Why would they have two different? Just make them all the same. Seriously, what's the benefit of having one slightly bigger than the other? Except now you got a bunch of people who got to buy extra buffer tubes and they swap their stocks around.
And I'm surprised that this NEA had a commercial tube on it, because the rest of the gun is supposed to be mil-spec. You know, the trigger and all this other stuff. Why it wouldn't have a mil-spec tube on it?
I don't know. Mine's got a commercial spec because that's what was sent to me for mine. But, I mean, you don't know the difference unless you actually are swapping stocks around. But, you know,
it's only, I think, 20 thou.
It's not much.
It's not very much. I mean, I could almost force the stock on.
it's enough of a difference to just make it a pain in the butt is what it is.
Yep, exactly. For people that don't know, the ACS is the one with the two tubes on either side. Storage tubes and the little compartment in the stock for a cleaning kit or whatever. It's definitely heavier.
Doesn't Trevor have one?
Yep.
I thought so.
I don't know which one he has it on, which AR. Probably his NEA.
He only has one AR, right?
Yeah. One dozen.
One dozen. A dozen teen.
Yeah. But it's kind of... Here's something I come across I was at the gun store, local gun store today. Have you ever seen a short Mosin Nagant? And when I say short, I mean the end of the barrel is maybe 2 inches or 3 inches past the stock.
I have not.
Because this is a Mosin Nagant. It looks like a Mosin Nagant. It's just the right caliber. Everything about is pristine.
Is it the M38 carbine? I only know that because I just looked it up just now.
Yeah. Well, I know. I could hear the keyboard.
That's a neat-looking rifle.
It's short. Now, maybe that's what it is. They, in there, said, oh, no, it's a Mosin Nagant.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a Mosin Nagant M38 carbine.
Okay. So it's like a short version.
Yeah. How much was it?
It has... $300.
This guy couldn't find one for less than $400, so that's cool.
That's probably a good deal then.
It might be.
Had 1954 stamped on the receiver.
Did it have, or was it the original caliber, 7.62x54R, or was it rechambered?
Yes. No, it was original caliber.
Okay.
Cool. Nice, beautiful gun. I don't know if the person refinished it or what. Huh. But, the stock was pristine.
Its lightweight and short barrel gave it a well-deserved reputation for excessive muzzle blast and recoil.
I would think so. But basically, it was a 30-06 round.
Yep.
Gee.
That would be neat.
Yeah, it was kind of a neat gun.
Be good for some muzzle blast picks.
Yeah. It had the bayonet lug and everything on it.
You can stab your bear, shoot it, and cook them all at the same time.
Exactly. Oh, frig. Yeah, and then back to shotguns. I'm thinking about selling my KSG.
I think another round of the Hallelujah Chorus is due. I think that's the right move, man. It's a neat gun. But I experienced a rather interesting malfunction with it. And
well, I was
going to
ask the listeners if they wanted to buy it, so don't tell them about that.
Oh. It wasn't, Sorry, go ahead.
Occasionally, if you don't run the gun correctly.
That's the problem.
And I rarely have the issue, but you experienced it where it fed an extra round.
That's right. It's because I wasn't running the gun properly. I'm not used to that gun. For somebody who likes bullpup shotguns or likes bullpup guns in general, it'd be a fantastic shotgun for them if they don't already know how to run another one.
Yeah.
But
there may be ways to mod this one or make it better somehow to be more reliable that way. I mean, like I say, it just happens once in a while.
Right.
It's not every time. And
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the gun. It's a amazing bush gun.
Oh, yes. It's so small. You throw it on your back and go, and you don't even realize you got it.
Yep. Yep. But I'm for me, I just can't get over the manual of arms.
Yep.
What I want to do.
It's different.
So if anybody wants a KSG, I'm not 100% sure yet, but if someone offered me money for it tomorrow, I probably would take them up on it. And
I'll give you 20 bucks. Wanna,
20 bucks, okay.
20 bucks,
save
30. Do I hear 30? You should do an auction. It's a silent auction or whatever. Listeners write in. Whoever writes in with the biggest number gets the gun.
There you go.
After the EMT goes through, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of EMTs, though, T-shirt orders are still available. Send an EMT for $20 to trevor.furlot. No, he changed it, didn't he? It's trevorfurlot@gmail.com now, I believe. But, yeah, contact Trevor if you want a shirt. Tell him what size, what color, blah, blah, blah. He'll be doing another run as soon as he gets enough orders. So if you want a shirt, let him know. He'll take care of you.
Perfect.
Yep.
So yeah, I was just going to say, I'm to sell that, when I sell that KSG, you're trying to move on and I'm trying to stay behind.
Keep going, man. It's okay. Are you done yet?
We kind of had this discussion. Yeah, see, I can talk through you. We had this discussion, you and I, but I would need to replace this shotgun with another pump.
Yes.
For a home defense or whatever you want to call it, a tactical shotgun.
Or for three gun, if you will.
Or for use in three gun.
There you go.
Would like to buy a couple of firearms for my wife as well, preferably a pistol and shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got enough money to the KSG, I would probably pick up another AR.
So has she shot your shotgun yet?
She has not. She don't think she's ever shot a shotgun. Maybe when she was younger, when she hunted coons, but...
So are you thinking... It's awesome. I love that your wife used to hunt raccoons. That's fantastic. Are you thinking like something semi-auto 20 gauge for like virtually no recoil? Or are you thinking... What are you thinking for her?
I was thinking pump 20 gauge.
A pump 20 gauge, yeah.
That would work. Just to keep things consistent.
Mm-hmm.
If those shotguns are consistent, my shotgun's a pump, her shotgun's a pump.
Makes sense. You can go back and forth, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It would also double as a good gun for the girls to learn on.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, that is true. So what I guess the next question is, if you're going for a pump action shotgun, there's really only two choices. Well, there's like four, but there's really only two. Remington or Mossberg? Which way do you lean? You know?
Well, in the past, I've always leaned towards the 870,
mm-hmm.
but some of the stuff you've been telling me recently makes me think maybe I will go Mossberg again. I had a Mossberg pump years ago. My first shotgun was a Mossberg pump it was a hunting model, long barrel and all that, camoed up. So I just didn't like the Tang safety. I always found the Tang safety very awkward to engage.
Really?
Or disengage.
That's interesting. Yeah. I find it the most comfortable. It just makes sense to me for it to be up there. I guess maybe because before I got into pump shotguns, I used mostly single shots. And so I always had to cock the gun. The hammer was on the top of the gun, right where the Tang safety is on the Mossberg 500.
And it's fine if you always disengage your safety while the gun is held kind of in your classic hunting ready position,
except
up and your hand down. Hold that gun up, take a sight picture with it, and now try to disengage that safety.
I do it all the time.
Could barely reach it.
Oh, really? You must have short, stumpy little thumbs or something.
Sure. We'll go with that.
I had no problem doing that. I can engage the safety and disengage it, up, down, wherever. But
maybe I'll have to try it a little more and work with it and see if...
Yeah, I can bring it down next time I come and you can play with it again. Well, you didn't really play with it at all. but you could.
Not and, much. I don't. Did I shoot it? I don't remember.
I don't think you even shot it.
No, I don't know. But they had a Maverick. They have a Maverick 88 locally, 20 gauge.
No, an 88 is not a bad gun. People will be going, oh, it's horrible, it's cheap. No, it's basically the Mossberg 500, just made in Mexico instead of made in Canada or made in the USA. It's almost exactly
no tang safety.
That's correct. And not only that, the safety isn't behind the trigger guard like on an 870, which is in my opinion the wrong spot. It's in front of the trigger guard where it belongs.
No,
it's behind.
No, it's behind.
Are you sure?
Behind.
Oh, dang it.
I'm pretty sure the 870 is in front.
No, the 870 is behind. Definitely 870 is behind.
Sure.
Definitely.
Sure
100%,
about that?
100%. Put $100. Okay. 100%. Okay. I'll bet you right now. $20.
I haven't handled an 870 in a number of years.
Oh, I see. I'm pulling up a picture. Remington 870. Tactical safety's in the back.
Okay.
I thought the safety was in front on a Maverick.
No, it's in the back, which is terrible.
Are you sure? Because I'm looking at a picture right now where it's in the front.
It was in the back on this one. I remember looking at it going, that's kind of weird.
Yeah?
I don't like safeties. But did you say you like them behind the trigger?
No, I like them in front.
Yeah, that's where they should be.
Yes, that's where they belong.
That's where they are in my Beretta.
Silly to have them in the back.
My hunting semi?
Dude, the safety's there. In front on a Maverick.
I would almost swear it was not the, on this
the,
gun.
The pump deactivator is behind, but the safety is in front of the trigger guard.
I'm going to have to look now.
You're going to have to. But the pump release for, you know, pumping the action without pulling the trigger, that's behind.
And that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. And the safety's in the front. See, the Maverick 88 is actually almost the perfect shotgun. It's lightweight. It's very inexpensive. It has the Mossberg tried and true action, which is simpler than the 870 and works better, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I know all the Remington lovers out there are screaming at me right now, but that's my opinion. I like the 500 better. But the Maverick, like I said, the safety's in the front, right where it belongs. It's not a tang safety at all. It's it's a great gun.
Yep. Does it come with an 18-inch barrel?
It does.
Because the one that they have here locally is like a 26.
Yeah.
And it's just too heavy for her.
It is.
I mean, she hasn't actually handled it, but I can pick it up and go, this is way too front heavy.
Yep. No, if you're...
To be, you know,
yeah. Cabela's.ca has them for $240, the 88s with an 18-inch barrel. They also have the Mossberg 500 Persuader, which might be the one you want to look at. It's 360, but it has the 8-round capacity with a 20-inch barrel.
Oh.
Yeah.
20-inch?
20-inch.
Yeah.
It's as long as mine. Mine's a 20-inch.
Yeah. Yours is pushing it. I like short shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
After having that KSG, everything feels long.
Yes, you're right. You could the thing is though, compared to your goose gun, man, a Lee Enfield full length Lee Enfield feels short compared to compared to that. That thing's almost as tall as I am. It's huge.
I think it has a 28 or 30-inch barrel, and then it has a 2-inch Paternoster sticking out the end.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And it's a 3.5-inch action, which means an extra half inch in the action, and you got it. Yep. Seemed like an addition on the buttstock too.
It has a long buttstock as well has your regular stock, and then it has the kickoff.
Right.
The shock absorbing kickoff in the back. So yeah, it is, which I like because I have long arms. So the length of pull is no issue for me. Yep. Guys like David, he really likes the Benelli. That's why he bought the Benelli, because
it's got a shorter length of pull.
He's more muscular in the upper body. He doesn't have the long arms.
Yep.
And for him, it's good that the trigger, the safety is behind the trigger on the Benelli.
Because he's got short, stumpy fingers.
Same as another friend of mine that shoots a Benelli. He picked up my gun. He's like, I can't even reach the safety. He said, I could barely reach the trigger on this thing. So.
Yep.
But hey, that's why they make different guns.
That's right.
Different people like different stuff, so.
Yep, exactly.
Yep. So anyway, and then yeah, a couple shotguns, and I'd like to pick up a pistol for her because I think that is more where her interest lies.
Well, that's
going
cool.
forward is in pistols rather than shotguns and rifles. So,
mm-hmm.
And if there's any money left over, I'd probably pick up a Norinco AR or something like that just to have a backup AR-15.
You say you like these short shotguns. Why don't you pick up one of these 8.5-inch pumps from Dlask?
Well, the Grizzly or the Dominion Arms makes a couple really short ones. Are those the ones you're talking about?
That's the one I meant. Yes, that's the one I meant. Yep.
Yeah.
The Dominion Arms.
I've heard they're super heavy.
Oh, they are. Yep. Yep. They so make that, them. That's my they only make other them concern. Strong.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
No, I have to balance. 18 is really the shortest I want to go because I have to balance capacity as well.
That's
again,
right.
Going from a KSG where I'm used to having over 16? Half a box of ammo in my gun.
That's right.
15.
Or 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 15 rounds, all of a sudden
down
going to 8.
Yep.
Or 7 or 6. Or in the case of those 8.5-inch Dominion Arms, 3.
Boom, boom, boom. Reload. Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly.
You'd be good for waterfowl.
Yeah.
No plug needed.
You could hit them. Yeah.
Funny.
Anyway, that kind of beat that to death, I think.
I think so. Well, on to the main topic. All right. Now on to listener feedback.
Super.
Yeah, we don't really have a main topic. What we were going to do, if you remember from last week, was talk about concealed carry in Canada. We asked you, the listener, to email us what you would carry and just, you know, general discussion points on concealed carry in Canada. And two of you did. So to Archie Perry and to Ross L., thank you very much, guys. Hold your hold on. Hold your breath, because we are going to feature those. But we're going to wait for some more people to put in some submissions, and hopefully Trevor will be back when we do that show too, because I know he wants to take part in that as well. So
hopefully,
yeah.
Can't believe you just said that.
Well, he's interesting sometimes.
I guess. We haven't thrown him under the bus enough, you know.
That's right. We got to work on that.
Did you
want to read one of these? I was going to say, do you want to read one of these emails in a stilted way, mispronouncing stuff?
I'm just going to let everybody know again that he bought a 1911.
Oh, that's right. He did. We can't let the listeners forget.
No.
That Trevor Furlatte is now a 1911 owner.
And to add insult to injury, he's going to sell his Glock 35. Like, not just buy a 1911, but trade it in for. I just want to cry.
Why do you want to cry?
Oh, because he was my hero, you know. He was like my Glock idol. You know, American Idol? He was Glock idol.
He was Glock idol. Yeah.
No.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read this like Trevor?
Yeah, read it like Trevor.
From James in West Texas. He says, hey guys, just finished listening to episode 16. 16?
Hold on, let me do that again.
Yeah. Trevor asked about 17 HMR rifles and accuracy. I have a Savage 93, the cheap $190 Walmart one. It's my favorite rifle by far. It likes the Hornady 17 grain TNT best, or the Federal 17 grain ballistic tip. The 20 grain doesn't shoot near as good at 100 yards. It shoots about half inch groups or better if I do my part. I have rabbit hunted with the 17 TNT rounds, and they are like TNT. They just explode in impact. Everyone who shoots this gun raves about the trigger and accuracy. It's not even an AccuTrigger either. Sadly, the scope and the Harris bipod cost more than the rifle.
Isn't that the truth? Harris bipods are expensive. But anyway, they're good.
It's amazing. Good. I was looking at my AR the other day, figuring I have almost as much into it in accessories as I do into the gun at this point.
Yep.
But anyway, and I don't even have expensive stuff on it, but I do have everything on it. So not often is cheap good, but Savage has impressed me with the rimfire rifles and the Savage 93. Oh, Trevor, I'm dyslexic, and damn, I don't get or don't. Damn, give a don't. love your show, guys. That's from James from West Texas.
Well, that's cool.
He's right about Savage rifles.
You're right. I have a. I've owned a couple of different Savage rifles now, and I'm always impressed with them.
Yeah.
You have I've one, got the don't you?
Yep. I've got the Bolt, the Mark II. Savage Mark II, and my dream precision rifle is a Savage
Mark II, in 22 long rifle.
No, 308 preferably.
That'd be cool.
But a friend of mine has one in 300. Yeah.
Well, 308 is 8 better than 300.
That's right. It's only 0.008 better.
I think the 300 has more powder. I don't know. Anyway, I'm that's cool. Thank you, James, for writing in. The 17 HMRs are cool little rifles. I thought about getting one once, and then I looked at the price of ammo compared to 22 and went, nope. I know it's probably worth it, but I have a 223, so I don't need a 17 HMR. But
how does Trevor has one. How does the price of 17... Yeah, but Trevor, you know, he's the bandwagon guy.
He's one of everything.
Yeah. How does the 17 compare in price to 22 Magnum?
It's still a bit more expensive from, well, locally anyway. It's a bit more expensive, but not much. They're pretty close. No, I think, 17's more, but 22 Magnum's not that far behind it, I guess. But
probably just because there's not as many 17s out there.
Could be. The 17s, I believe there's more work involved in making that cartridge.
Oh, okay.
Because
it's a neck down cartridge?
Yeah. So it is a neat cartridge. So this next one comes to us from Jacob. He writes, "This is Jacob, a 16-year-old from Ontario who's getting into the shooting sports, and I just wanted to say that I'm glad to have finally found a source of Canadian gun culture. Before I found this, I had to rely on YouTube channels from the States like Ivy8888 and Hickok45. Watching them is part of what led me to you, as when Steve Lee appeared on the Hickok45's channel, I was prompted to subscribe to him when he went to Canada and was on Matt's channel. I was so glad to have found someone who could inform me on Canadian politics and legal guns." Well, that's cool. Thanks for watching my channel there, Jacob. "Listening to you guys has prompted me to look into IPSC and IDPA. So as soon as I turn 18 and have enough money, I'm going to get my RPAL. I took the PAL course so I could hunt with family. Unfortunately, my family is rather anti-gun, so the only thing I can practice on is a little 177 air rifle. Saving up for future guns, though, my 18th birthday will be spent at the range. Thanks." Hoorah. "And..." Yeah, that's right. "Thanks and keep up the great work. Jacob, a young, enthusiastic future shooter." Well, Jacob, yeah, thank you for writing us. I know it seems like a long time now, you know, 2 years to your 18th birthday, but it'll go by quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna have a lot of fun. Shooting is it's a great sport. It's very safe. I really hope that your family comes around. I actually come from a very anti-gun family. When I was a kid, I was not even allowed to make Lego guns. I wasn't allowed to put my finger and thumb up like a gun and play guns around the house. I'd get in trouble. I was always getting in trouble for playing guns. We'd go over to a friend's house, and of course they had toy guns, and so we'd be playing. My parents would just glare at me the whole time until we left. Yeah. But they came around. It was because I was so into guns. I just wouldn't give it up. When we moved to New Brunswick, it was a very hunting-oriented area, and so I went and got my hunting license and all this and that, and got my gun license, and just through, you know, exposing them to it little by little and having, you know, discussions with them, eventually turned them all around. They are all now pro self-defense, pro concealed carry. My father has his PAL and owns a shotgun. My mom has shot all of my guns so far, I think, or at least close to it, and she really enjoys it. My sister and brother, you know, almost all of them. Everybody shoots guns in my family now, so don't be discouraged. It'll turn around if you do your part.
Yeah, so, cool.
So I guess you want to take this next one then?
Yeah. David says, good day, guys. Very much enjoyed the last episode as well as some recent video postings showing Matt demonstrating his skills on some of the stages at Nationals.
I wish that skills was in quotes because that would have been a bit more appropriate. What skills? you mean me running around like a numpty? Yeah, okay, that works too.
And shooting skills.
Bow hunting skills.
Mad missing skills. Mad can't hit the steel skills. That was me. I have not yet participated or seen an IPSC event live, but I'm highly interested in getting into the sport soon. So yes, I'm a newbie. A quick question. In Matt's video, at some points on the stage, Matt is required to walk backwards to get to another part of the stage. I've managed to locate the movie Triple Tap online, and in the movie, when the shooter needed to move backwards, it appeared that he would turn and run forward but point the gun backwards so as not to break 90. Was this just a movie stunt, or can you perform the same maneuver in real event? Not knocking Matt's technique, but to me that seems safer. Walking backwards and possibly stumbling, tripping with a loaded firearm appears risky, but maybe it's just me. Remember, I'm a newbie. Keep up the great work on the shows. I think, David, if you will look through the video again, at least of the one where you have all three of us shooters from here, Matt, David, and I, one of the stages, I can't remember which number it is, unfortunately. You actually do that, Matt. It's one of you, and you're backing up with the levers that go across the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You have to back up quickly.
Yep.
And you actually turn and run with the gun pointed held over your shoulder, and you run and hit the lever and shoot.
Yep.
So if he wants to go back and look at some of the video, I think you'll find in some cases instead of backing up, you did turn and.
That run. You're right, Dave. It is faster to run forward with your gun back, and that's not a movie stunt. That was only on Triple Tap. We can actually do that, and many times we do. It'll depend on each stage. It'll depend on which direction the targets are once you're done running backwards. If your gun is out straight, you know, yep. Just downrange or over your shoulder, or some stages, it makes more sense speed-wise to just run backwards. Some stages I run backwards, some stage it's over the shoulder, and some stages it's stretched out behind me. Like there, it just depends on each stage, but, good question. Definitely. It's one of the big
issues with running, turning and running with your gun over your shoulder or something like that is the threat of sweeping yourself with your own gun.
That's right. That's the one that I like the least is over my shoulder. I will do it, but I try not to. I try to go the other way if I can. That's the biggest thing in IPSC is keep your gun downrange. Don't break 90. Keep the way we teach it in Black Badge is there's a magnet on your gun, on the barrel of your gun, and the berm is an iron plate. Your muzzle of your gun is drawn to the berm all the time. Doesn't matter which way you're running or pointing or going. Keep your gun downrange, and you do that the safest way you can. But also the quickest way you can. And so, yeah, that's why you'll see us sometimes running backwards and sometimes turning.
Yep.
Very good. Well, thanks, David, all right. The question and for the email. A reminder. I was just going to say a reminder to listeners who want to get in on the CCW feedback, the concealed carry. Make sure you write in. Archie Perry, not to be...
Don't write in, you don't get on the show.
That's right. Archie Perry, he sent in a listener or an audio submission. So yes. If you think you can outdo Archie Perry, write an email, record yourself reading it, and then send it in. That's always fun, too. That way we actually hear your voice. But yeah, write in. We need more feedback on what you think about concealed carry in Canada, so we have stuff to talk about. Questions, comments, queries, anything. Just write it in, and we'll see what we can do with it.
Best iTunes review this week. Zip, none, nada.
You should all be ashamed of yourselves. Very nice. That's funny. iTunes review. Come on, guys. If it's funny, we'll read it. There were actually a couple on there that we haven't read yet, but they weren't funny, so we didn't read it. You know, make it funny. Make fun of Trevor. Definitely make fun of Trevor, and we'll definitely read it. So send it in. Thank you to everybody who has. They are amusing. I do like reading them. But yeah, get on that. Speaking of getting on that, what about liking us on Facebook? Seriously, guys. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute, but gosh. All right, shout outs. Yes. Archie, Perry, and Ross, I already talked about that. That was the feedback stuff, so make sure you send in some more. And Jason P. for the his and hers pick, and I'm going to read this. It's actually a picture. It's just a picture of a guy laying in bed and then a girl.
You're going to read a picture?
No, I'm going to read the description of the picture.
A picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah, this only is about 200, so it's not that bad. Actually, it's only about 40 words.
And if Trevor was reading it, we'd be here for like 3 years.
Anyway, it's a couple laying in bed. She's got her back to him, and he's got his arms crossed, staring up at the ceiling.
It's a family show.
It is. It is a family show, and it's actually a family written. I've seen these rated R. This one is rated PG, so it's okay.
Do you like how I'm interrupting you the same way you do, Trevor?
I'm fine with that. Trevor's getting a kick out of this. So the caption reads, her diary. Tonight, I thought my husband was acting weird. We had made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with all my friends all day long, so I thought he was upset at the fact that I was a bit late, but he made no comment on it. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong, and he just said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset, and he said he's not upset. And that nothing, and it had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On his way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. I can't explain his behavior. I don't know why he didn't say, I love you too. When we got home, I felt as if I had lost him completely, as if he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. He just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep, and I cried. I don't know what to do. I'm almost sure that his thoughts are with someone else. My life is a disaster. His diary. Rifle won't zero. Can't figure out why. Doesn't that just sum it up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the truth, absolutely.
Yep, sometimes when we're quiet, it's just because the rifle won't zero. Cool. All right, well, take us out there, Owen. What we got here to mention? What's left?
Do you want me to mention it?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. This is where the lead host does this.
Yeah, see, that's in brackets and in italics. You're not supposed to read that.
I know. That's why I did. Like us on Facebook. Matthew's Local Library has 246 likes. Slamfire only has 146. That's only 9 more than last week. Like slackers.
Now, that being said, the local library got 2 extra since last week, and we've got 9 extra since last week.
Okay, so we're gaining
good. That's good, but they still have 100 more than we do.
Yeah.
So, yes, go like us on Facebook and go unlike the Edmonton Library. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Jewel would kill me.
Well, we're in real trouble. Never mind. This is Woodstock, Illinois, I was going to say.
Oh, it's another Woodstock. Oh, you thought it was the Woodstock local library and it had like thousands of likes?
Yeah, I was going to check like the, here it is. 226.
Oh, well, Edmonton has more than Woodstock, but Woodstock still has more than Slam Fire.
I'm in Woodstock, and you're there, and Trevor's in Dalhousie. Do we have to combine all their libraries? Likes?
Oh, man, before we win?
Yeah.
Listeners.
Here, people. Like,
listeners, come on. You can do it. Go like us and encourage all your friends to like us, too.
Just go create a profile. Create a bunch of fake profiles.
Just make stuff up.
Also, be sure to check out all the other great shows, both on the Canadian Reload Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. Ton of great material there. Lots of different shows. They're all worth listening to, except for that one about the rifles and shooting. And what was that one? I don't know the name of it anymore. See? So, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Talk about Brian.
The service rifle conditions matches of Aura Canardia or something.
So,
that one's. Well, Foley's cool. Yeah, I like listening to Foley. He's awesome. Then there's Brian. He shoots a 1911. You know that, right?
I think that your trip to. I'm glad I didn't go to the charity shoot now. Because ever since you guys got back from that...
We've both been talking about 1911s.
Talk about 1911s. Like, I'm not even going to shake Brian's hand anymore. I'm so paranoid about it. It must be contagious.
I'm worried
I'm going to get it from you guys. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not actually going to get a... Well, I might. Can't really say.
All right.
Oh, well.
Well, that's the show, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Of course, if you didn't enjoy it, you've probably turned it off by now. So
yeah, why are you still listening if you didn't enjoy it? This thing does have a pause button, you know.
Yeah. If you didn't enjoy it, go get a life.
Or write us. Tell us why you didn't enjoy it. Then we'll make fun of you on the show.
Exactly.
That'll be fun, too. All right.
All right. Till next time.
Take somebody shooting.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.